Welcome to the April edition of This Month in Digital Money, the podcast from the Digital Euro Association, where we unpack what's happened in the world of digital money over the past month. I'm Anne-Sophie, and I'm joined by my co-hosts Tamara and Conrad. Let's get into it. On the 10th of April, the Bank of England released two key updates marking continued progress in the design phase of a digital pound. The first is a technical report on offline payment functionality, exploring how a digital pound could be used securely and effectively when neither payer nor payee have access to the CBDC network, usually due to a lack of connectivity. The Bank of England demonstrates that offline payments are technically feasible, with real-time finality and settlement achieved at the device level. However, the report also highlights important trade-offs, particularly around double spend prevention, counterfeit risk, and user experience. While various technological options exist to implement offline payments, each hinges on unresolved policy decisions, including liability frameworks, risk appetite, and broader legal considerations. Therefore, no final decision has yet been made on whether offline payments will be implemented in the final design of a digital pound. Complementing this, the Bank of England also released a design note on intermediaries and the digital pound scheme rulebook, outlining early thinking on how public and private actors will collaborate within the digital pound ecosystem. The note sketches out a structure for intermediary roles, including payment interface providers and external service interface providers, as well as obligations around AML and CFT compliance, cybersecurity, interoperability, and service provision. This approach seems to mirror that of a euro system and the digital euro scheme rulebook proposal of June 2023. Similarly, it signals a move towards structured public-private governance, ensuring the digital pound functions securely and consistently across institutions while still leaving space for innovation and competition. While the Bank of England is refining how a digital pound could work domestically, from offline use to intermediary roles, it's also been active internationally. In fact, it played a key part in one of the most notable cross-border payment experiments of the year, Project Meridian FX, which takes us straight into our second topic. Later in April, the Bank for International Settlements announced the success of Project Meridian, proving that wholesale payment infrastructures, such as RTGS systems, can be interoperable via new technologies for foreign exchange transactions. Using a synchronization operator, a technology-neutral interface, the project coordinated payment versus payment settlement across four infrastructures: the UK's synthetic RTGS platform and three Eurosystem interoperability solutions, including the Banque de France's DL3S platform, the Banca d'Italia's TIPS Hashlink, and the Deutsche Bundesbank's Trigger solution. The result? Successful FX settlements that are simultaneous, final, and secure, even across heterogeneous systems. This breakthrough offers not just a technical proof of concept, but a glimpse into how the future of cross-border payments could evolve, especially as wholesale CBDC experiments accelerate and real-time programmable infrastructure becomes the norm.
The European Central Bank is doubling down on plans for a digital euro, framing it as a strategic necessity to counter the growing dominance of US dollar-backed stablecoins and protect Europe's monetary sovereignty. ECB executive Piero Cipollone warns that reliance on foreign payment providers like PayPal or Apple Pay risks draining fees, data, and deposits from Europe, while US crypto-friendly policies could amplify dollar dominance in cross-border transactions. The digital euro, designed to complement cash, would offer offline functionality and privacy protections, with a holding limit to prevent bank deposit flight. However, public skepticism persists, with surveys showing lukewarm interest due to privacy concerns and doubts about its necessity. Meanwhile, technical progress continues. The ECB is finalizing a rulebook for interoperability and testing innovations like conditional payments with 70-plus private sector partners. Critically, the ECB faces pushback from the European Commission, which views its warnings about US stablecoins as alarmist and argues existing MiCA rules already limit foreign stablecoin use in everyday payments. Starting April 23rd, Google requires all crypto advertisers in the EU to hold licenses under the Markets in Crypto Assets Framework or National Crypto Asset Service Provider regulations. Advertisers must also pass Google certification and comply with local laws. While the policy aims to curb scams and enhance transparency, critics call it a double-edged sword. Smaller exchanges may struggle with MiCA's capital requirements, 15,000 to 150,000 euros, and dual certification hurdles, risking market consolidation among larger players. Transition periods for France, Germany, and Finland allow temporary use of national licenses until 2025 to 2026, but gaps in enforcement could emerge during the shift. Major platforms like OKX, Bitpanda, and Crypto.com are already compliant, but Google's phased enforcement, issuing warnings before suspensions, leaves room for adaptation.
Standard Chatter said stablecoin market could grow to $2 trillion by end of 2028. The Guiding and Establishing National Innovation for U.S. Stablecoins Act is expected to be passed in the U.S. in the coming months, and that could trigger an almost tenfold jump in stablecoin supply, investment bank Standard Chatter said in a research report. The bank noted that the proposed legislation was cleared by the Senate Banking Committee in March and looks like to be passed by Congress and then signed off by President Donald Trump around the middle of the year. An increase in stablecoin supply has implications for U.S. Treasury buying and U.S. dollar hegemony, the report said. The bank's estimated increase in stablecoin issuance would require the additional buying of $1.6 trillion of treasury bills over the next 4 years. Increased demand for dollar-denominated stablecoin reserves would result in additional demand for U.S. dollars, the bank said, and this should support dollar hegemony. Standard Chatter said it expects the industry to move the mode used by USDC Issuer Circle, which holds 88% of its reserves in treasury bills with an average duration of 12 days. Tether, the largest stablecoin issuer, holds 66% of its USDT reserves in treasury bills, the report noted. Circle announces payments network to transform global money movement. Circle Internet Group, a global financial technology company and stablecoin market leader, announced Circle Payments Network, CPN, to connect to financial institutions, banks, new banks, payment service providers, virtual asset service providers, and digital wallets, and enable real-time settlement of cross-border payments using regulated stablecoins. CPN marks the next chapter in Circle's evolution, extending beyond trusted stablecoins and developer platforms to power a globally connected payments network. Despite improvements, cross-border payments can still take longer than one business day to settle and cost more than 6%, according to the World Bank. Disproportionality impacting emerging markets and limiting their global competitiveness. Delays are driven by multiple intermediaries, compliance checks, local market cutoff times, and fragmented operating hours across jurisdictions. Designed to bring efficiency to a fragmented cross-border payment system, CPN provides financial institutions with a modern way to move money globally with the speed, transparency, and programmability of the internet. CPN is governed by a robust framework that requires participants to meet strict eligibility standards, including licensing, AML, CFT compliance, financial risk management, and cybersecurity protocols. By leveraging USDC, EURC, and other regulated stablecoins, CPN enables seamless connectivity to domestic real-time payment systems worldwide, while upholding the compliance, security, and trust required for financial institutions to meet their regulatory obligations.
That's all for this month in Digital Money. Thanks for tuning in. And if you want to keep up with everything we're doing at the Digital Euro Association, from podcasts and events to our latest publications, be sure to follow us on social media and subscribe to our channels. See you next month.